Okay, let's get started. We've got max 35 minutes, perhaps a bit less than that. The process is this that we've got to today. I took a bunch of stuff away with me. Some of you would say, fancy taking work on holiday. Well, the difference is that I think I have a way of life, right? And I don't consider myself ever to be at work, or ever to not be at work, because hopefully I'm able to carry on doing what's most important, or at any time, and probably what's most important is praying for you guys. And I do take seriously when one or other of you come to mind. And I get your particular little doll out and I stick pins in it. I can only manage serious for so long, I'm sorry. Due to circumstances like picking up kids from school and who want to be played with, and going out places and saying, "Granddad, can you take us to this swimming pool rather than the one we're at the moment, which happens to be at the other end of the resort, can you come and do this," and so on, there wasn't very much time for reflection. And the book I had with me to read was astonishingly badly written. Good book, good content, but it did not engage. And the other set of papers that I had, I couldn't actually get access to for some reason. Haven't found out yet why. But I had a verse from the Bible which had sort of kicked in before I went and stayed with me all the time. It was a book and a phrase. And then, right towards the end, I was reading one of the blogs that I read. By this time, we were actually on our own for 5 days. We went to the north of Thailand, which was absolutely brilliant, and will no doubt get referred to from time to time. But we had just a few days up there. While I was there was a bit more space, and I have a set of blogs that I follow. One of them is a lady called Rachel Held Evans, who, as well as being a mum and a wife, is a commentator on all sorts of things. And she drew the attention of her readers to a lingerie advert. Okay. Which over the next couple of weeks at some point I want to show you, and just happened to come from a Thai company as well. And it's a 7-minute long story, which even for the most sensitive I shouldn't think will cause any offence, absolute brilliant story. And it suddenly locked together from both ends, my verse and this piece of material, which sort of settled me on what I want to try and do. I'm speaking 3 times before Easter, and want to get to that. So let's put it in context with a little piece of very old-fashioned video, which a few of you may have seen when it was broadcast on telly in the days when resolution was such that you could only get it up to this level. So let's see. Let's hope we've got enough volume.
Morning, 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 morning
The strange thing is that most people, you will know, really don't think about the big issues. They'll say they do. But actually saying, well, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Is just really a way of saying, I'm not going to think about this. And that's one of the unique things about people who have faith, that they do think about things. And we, as part of one of our trips, went to a pagoda that was put up by the Air Force to honour the current King and Queen. Amazing place, really, because when you get there, you're at the highest point in the country, so you're in temperate grassland with beautifully laid out British-style gardens. And the way you get to this pagoda, to see it, is to go up escalators that are on the middle of a mountainside with a little shop. And in the shop, which sells some drinks, or some Nescafe anyway, there are some people running the shop, and they're all wearing big thick woolly hats and lots of sets of clothes piled on. And as Thai people do, they have about 6 or 7 meals a day, so somebody's eating a bowl of noodles somewhere at any time in any community. And because it's just so cold, it dropped to 6 degrees the night before where we were. But the honouring of the royal family is tied up with the Buddhist religion. It's very difficult to call it a faith, because the whole thing about the Buddhist religion is that you just give up. Okay? That accounts for a lot of things that become very Thai. In fact, there's a book called Very Thai. I thought it was a sort of demeaning expat phrase. Oh, that's very Thai, that is, when anything didn't go properly. But being very Thai is a well-known phrase. It's things which, you know, rather than put the policeman's salaries up, you keep 200 baht, which is about 4 quid, in your driving licence in order to move things along. And you accept that life is pretty meaningless anyway, which is why perhaps I think the death toll on Thai roads is one of the highest in the world. But there were 4 stages in the Buddha's life. The first one was where he had a fairly impressive birth. The second was where he received enlightenment. The third was where he talked. And the fourth was where he died, and he came to terms with the fact that life is meaningless. And so if you do good, you come back as an improved life form from where you are. One of the reasons why they allow soy dogs to run wild is because there are higher life form, presumably higher than all the things that go with your noodles. Nobody wants to kill them. In fact, when they disappear from the streets as a result of local authority activity, it's really, really very important that people don't find out where they've gone, to a dog nirvana, presumably. But they're really quite dangerous, and our family is certainly quite frightened. They even managed to make Wendy frightened of dogs in the end, by the time at the end of the trip. But there is something different about the way in which we look at faith to the way the Buddhists look at faith, which actually works admirably for people coming through Buddhism to worship in Jesus. So if ever you hear anybody say, well, I'm a Buddhist, do say, tell me more. You know, which is always a good thing for anybody with any faith, for you to say to them, tell me more, because that's the way we learn. It's the way we get to understand. But you'll get some interesting stuff. The only time I've been conscious of doing it was the person told me they were a Buddhist. I said to them, well, tell me more. And they immediately started to go into reverse and say, I'm not a Buddhist, really. I think it was because at that time, being a Buddhist was particularly trendy. You know, sort of, it was cool to be a Buddhist. Now, here's where I want to start from today. And I'm going to be looking at the first couple of chapters of Ephesians. And people think that Paul wrote this letter to sort of tie everything together. And this gives you a chance to think about what life's all about. Okay? And here we go. And I want you to think about this as far as school's concerned, as far as your job's concerned, as far as your family's concerned, as if you're getting on a bit like me, as far as dying's concerned, whatever is the important aspect of your life. And here's Paul saying to these guys, he's in jail, by the way, when he writes this, I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. It's not the page you've got. I'm just introducing it. We'll come to that one in a minute. High score for those who had already realised that it wasn't the page that they'd got. So I never stop being grateful for you, as I mention you in my prayers. I feel that way about Dayspring as well. I ask the Lord, ask the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you his Spirit. And just be aware, if you're heavily into the Bible, that Paul is talking about the Spirit in a very different way to the way that Luke talks about the Spirit. Luke talks about the Spirit in Luke Acts as being empowering for witness. And here's Paul saying that to give you his Spirit. Now, what will the Spirit do? The Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. Now, isn't that interesting that you could know God, or you can start to know God, without understanding what's it all about? You could be living a goldfish spiritual existence. My prayer is that light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from death and let him sit at his right side in heaven. I don't need to carry on reading that bit. Just let's concentrate on that. This is complicated enough, isn't it, up to now. My prayer is that light will flood your hearts and you will understand the hope that God gave you when he chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all God's people. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from death and let him sit at his right side in heaven. Okay, some of you guys are going to be at school this week. Some of you are going to be at work. Where would you like to see the power of Christ at work in your everyday environment this week? Tell somebody about it. Where would you like to see the power of Christ at work in your environment? Okay, guys, right, we've you must have at least listed half a dozen things to one another, but I'm interested in two categories here. I think that possibly some of you may have been concerned with areas where you expected trouble this week. Yeah? Was that true? That some of these things, trouble, problems. Okay. Now, what were you looking for? Something to get you out? Or something to get you through? I don't want to embarrass anybody by getting into... Pardon?
Get me focused.
Get you focused. get you out, get you through. Two categories. The people who often present this teach this as the get you out of trouble stuff thing. They're the sort of people in Monopoly who really think their life has changed when they get a get out of jail free card. Yeah? But this isn't the kind of power that raised Jesus from the dead, is it? It was a get you through power. And that's really what we want to just bear in mind. David and I read, who was it who read it first? Was it you or me? Well, anyway, one of us read a blog which was called Seven Lies That People Tell. Seven Lies That Christians Tell. And one of those lies is a lie about the power of God. You know, we say the Holy Spirit will come and everything will be okay. Right? Now, there's no promise about that, so I want to be really honest with you when I'm talking about this, that certainly the power of God will make life better. The power of God will take you through. The power of God may mean that sometimes, just like happened for Jesus, Paul, all sorts of other people, you have a blindingly wonderful miracle that seems just like a get-out-of-jail-free card. So when we're talking about power, we're talking about power to get you through. So I'm talking about power over these next 3 weeks. I'm also talking about potential. Right? Because the power of Jesus, the power that we're talking about, is a lot about realising your potential. Now, of course, when we start talking about potential, we immediately think about my job, my fulfilment, my career, my success, those kind of things. But there's more to potential than that that we're going to come to now. So, what we're going to do is we're going to read together, which is why I printed out the same thing for everybody. Some of you may prefer to use another translation, like, for instance, the NIV, but I've chosen one here, which I think just about is still an accurate translation but makes it as clear as possible. Let's try and read together. If you're not very good at reading, just follow slightly behind everybody else, you'll get there in the end. But this, I think, is fairly straightforward. Let's start. God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much that he made us alive with Christ, and God's wonderful kindness is what saves you. God raised us from death to life with Christ Jesus, and he has given us a place beside Christ in heaven. God did this so that in the future world he could show how truly good and kind he is because of what Jesus has done. You were saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve. This is God's gift to you, and not anything you have done on your own. It isn't something you have earned, so there is nothing you can brag about. God planned for us to do good things and to live as he has always wanted us to live. That is why he sent Christ to make us what we are. Now, in the NIV version, it talks about us being God's handiwork, which sort of makes me feel as I'm a piece of tapestry or a craft project or something. But you may like that term. But here it talks about God sending Christ to make us what we are. Peter, Christ has made you what you are. I don't know whether Marion agrees that Christ has made Peter what he is. Sue, Christ has made you what you are. That's a strange thing, isn't it? That's great. Okay, so now you're going to answer this question the same way as everybody else is. What evidence is there that Christ has made you what you are? Yeah, you say, yeah, I know that. That's why she said hallelujah, wasn't it? Because, yeah, I know that's true. What's the evidence? How do you know that Christ has made you what you are? Duh. Where's the evidence? What is there that makes you know that Christ has made you what you are? Guys, can you possibly under these circumstances, make a positive comment about yourself. Yeah? What's the evidence the crisis has made you what you are? A sudden drop in emotional temperature in the audience is phenomenal. Okay, have a go. See how you get on. I'm not going to ask for feedback on this. Okay, you've got that anchored in your mind. You've got that anchored in your mind. Now I want to push you back to what came into your mind first. Because we would go through the process of doing this. Of saying, this is what I would do. Christ has made me what I am, but. Yeah? Anybody do that? Christ has made me what I am, but. There's this, and that, and the other. There's this whole bunch of things that sort of undermine that. Now, my goal over these next 3 weeks is to deal with that but. Okay? And that but arises because we feel weakness, we feel blame, we feel shame. I want to show you a really weird video and to see if you can work out what it means, which is supposed to address this particular verse directly. You may find it fits for you. It just still strikes me as weird after watching it several times, but let's see what you think. This is the one. Yep, it's the one. Talk to one another about what the point of that is. There's George, there's Joe going. Okay, we're short of time, guys, so who thinks that who made sense of it? I want just a couple of people who thought they made sense of it. One person there, somebody else, two there. I'm going to take Chiquita and Ian, and I'll be interested to see whether you make sense of it in the same way. Just briefly, tell the rest of us, nice and loud.
Something out of the deep, so something of her was inside there, and she was seeing her life in these horrible pictures, and if she was running on and trying to find reality, she eventually got to the wall with how God suits her.
Okay, that was that's that one.
I'm probably starting and ending in terms of it was how she actually is, but she kept harking back to how she was, and kept chasing after how she was, rather than seeing herself as she actually is.
Yeah. So buried under the mud is an image which is wonderful, and part of the thing about the mud is the shame and the concern, the anxiety that we feel that makes us believe that God couldn't possibly be the one who's in charge of getting us to where we are today. Now, there's a really brilliant piece in the Old Testament which becomes a picture of the way in which Jesus died. And it talks about the fact that each year they would choose a goat, which became known as the scapegoat. And what would happen is that metaphorically, they would put all the sins of the nation on this goat, and they would take the goat away from the people and just let the goat go. They didn't kill it, but it was the isolation and loneliness of the goat away from the community, away from humankind, away from goat. Well, good to be away from humankind, they were going to eat him if you stayed, really, but away from goat kind as well, to be separated. And that was something that Jesus endured. Very, very difficult for us to think of the fact of Jesus taking our shame and blame on himself. And this is what impacted me about this video. Now, I actually need to tell you two things about Thai culture. One is that university students wear uniforms and have pretty much standard hairstyles. And so there's no reason to assume the young woman in this picture is still at school. She could be doing postgraduate work. The other is that on Mother's Day, the children actually come and bring presents and kneel in front of their mothers. On Teacher's Day, the kids do the same thing. So working in a high-so school, you can get some pretty impressive handbags. Half of them are knockoffs, but occasionally people are given... but people get given real iPads as well and real mountain bikes by the main distributor of them in Thailand. So you're always wondering who the children in your class are going to be next year for Teacher's Day. A bit better than Apple for the teacher. But watch this video. It's 7 minutes long. If at the end of it you haven't got the point or you're wondering what the point is, it might be that it sits with you. We'll put the link up over the next few days so that you can get a hold of it. There are three or four stories like this, and each of them are fairly impactful, but I think this one's great. So, we know that the young woman in the story is not necessarily a school kid. You've got to work out the rest from the subtitles, I think. The problem that we face is the fact that we spend our lives carrying shame and blame that Jesus took on himself. And here's point number one, right? God has made us what we are by taking all the bad stuff that we have done and Jesus carrying it. Our ability to cope, our ability to worship, our ability to live free is undermined if we insist on carrying that stuff for ourselves. Yeah? Jesus said, I would rather they said bad things about me than bad things about Dave. I would rather I took the load on my shoulders than that Rosie took it on herself. That is, in essence, the gospel. Now, I hope that I'm going to be able to come back to this in a way that puts us at risk, that's going to get somebody come and say, ah, but you are overemphasizing the love of God. Right? Don't think I can get there. But I've decided that my goal for this year is to, whatever else I do, I don't do, so explore the love of God that potentially we could be accused of overdoing it. Yeah? Jesus said, I would rather them talk about me than talk about the little one. And the little one is you. Okay? That's today's punchline. Just give us a little while to... post the link and then you can show it to other people as well and possibly look at the other two on the Thailand Wakao site. So those were my two links at either end of my time away. One that was really powering into my mind as I got on the plane, that God, we are God's handiwork, and the other was that video almost 3 weeks later. Let's pray. Father, if only we could believe that you have made us what we are. If only we could believe that all the difficulties we've faced, all the weaknesses inside our personalities are things that you're going to use to bless other people. Father, I pray that you will send your Spirit now to show us what you're doing, what your purposes are, what you want to achieve in our lives for your glory. What are the good works that you've already prepared for us to do? Amen. That's it.